Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're going to talk about Mom's latest Ariel costume. So you have three now. They're hanging up over there.
I know. I have like a library. I think I actually do right now because I brought one up
the other day. You brought them up.
Yeah.
We were like figuring something out.
Yeah, I was looking at one for some reason. And so there's like three in a row. I have a wardrobe of costumes.
And this one, though, is different than the other two in many ways, of course.
Yes.
But, and I don't think we podcasted about the second one. But I could be wrong.
I don't remember.
So, yeah. Anyway, this Ariel costume, so.
We did. I think we did.
You think we did?
Okay. I think we did.
We just had another conversation before we started recording about how we don't remember something else.
Right.
So.
Well, we have too much media going because I can't remember what we talked about. Was it a live presentation? Did we make a
agreed
a YouTube for it? Did we do this? Did we do that? Right.
We need a media manager. A content director, if you
there
will.
There you go, content director.
No. That's in my email signature.
We need a table of contents.
That's in my email signature. Is content
director. Is that part of your job description?
That's what I said I am. I don't really know what I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Ariel costumes, I think in their previous podcast, we talked about some of the challenges like of Ariel costuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
They can't have a bunch of rough stuff on
right.
them. Like they can't have a bunch of like 3D beads and
right.
stuff because it can tear up the silks and it'll get torn off the costume.
Well, and you know, they can have that.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not truly sustainable.
Sure. They can.
You know, I know people that have costumes that maybe have rhinestone, you know, the Swarovski rhinestones that are, they're glued on and they never even do dress rehearsal in them because they're going to lose
some.
They
save them for the performance.
Yeah. And they can tear up, you know, the silks also.
Right.
So, and there's other aerial things. Like if you are on, say, the lira, which is the big circle,
mm-hmm.
the big metal circle, that doesn't have the same restrict, you know, there's different things to think of or whatever.
Yeah, so but we're, you know, we're
except
talking
that if you have rhinestones, then you're hitting the rhinestone.
You're going to dig them into your body.
It's like, you know, yes, it's impaling you.
Well, it's kind of funny that those two apparatuses, like, the silks are so soft.
Right.
And the lira is so,
right.
it's a metal
ring.
It's
so static,
you know?
And
yeah.
so rigid. Yes, yes. Well, and then there's like what they call static trapeze,
mm-hmm.
which is a trapeze that just hangs, like it doesn't go back and forth between trapezes,
right?
So it has a hard bar, but it has ropes that hold it. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there.
Sure. So you were doing hammock.
Or sling. Hammock
okay.
or sling. It's
hammock
called
sling.
Both. Sometimes it's called that interchangeably.
Yes.
Yes.
And you didn't, you know, we wanted the shiny, we wanted the color, we wanted the mm-hmm. everything, but without rhinestones. Your
right.
last two.
We want the reflectiveness.
Yes.
Yes.
Your last two costumes were one pieces. Unitards,
well, they
right?
were unitards. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yes. You know, I know.
So
that.
It was legs, arms. It was, you know, a big bodysuit.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I could, if they were blue, all blue, I could have been a blue man.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. There you yeah. go. Actually, the blue man they
didn't
wear,
have a hood.
They wear black and then they're painted blue.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you could have been Dr. Manhattan if it was all
whatever.
Blue.
I could have been Catwoman.
There we go. It's yes. like a cat suit. Yeah.
It is a cat suit. Absolutely. It's, so you know, that's funny when people say things like jumpsuit. You know,
oh, sure.
A
yeah.
lot of those things are very interchangeable.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And in dance,
mm-hmm.
I would call this a unitard.
Right.
Right.
That's what.
Yes.
That's where we kind of come from.
And a
from
bike
a little more.
Tard, mm-hmm. right, is one that has short legs.
Yes.
But
yes.
then a leotard is one that has the leg cut up, you know, into the hip,
yeah.
right?
So you made yourself a long sleeve leotard.
I did.
And tights.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were still covered. Now,
yes, from head to toe.
Do most aerial performers wear tights?
Yes.
Like, do you see that in the majority?
Yes. Because, well, you know, I've actually taken, okay, workshops from an artist
uh-huh.
who wears shorts a lot.
Yeah.
And I came home and I tried it. And I
was...
thought, oh, my God. I mean, she's a lot younger than me. She's not probably sturdier.
Right.
Most of the people that I see wearing shorts are wearing tights under them.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, Jen, she does bare leg.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed.
And you find that uncomfortable. And a lot of people
oh,
do.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, imagine just like taking a scarf and wrapping it around your bare leg, mm. right? And then pulling it in every direction.
Right.
Like, and you know, it's like a tourniquet.
Right.
You get to do a lot of moves that are like tourniquets.
Right.
Now, I actually had someone say to me, Wendy, one of my teachers, right, said, I have never performed with sleeves.
Ah.
And I said, they don't bother me.
Uh-huh.
I said, I never thought about that because I generally don't practice.
You don't practice
with sleeves.
Yeah.
No. Usually I have like a cap sleeve leotard generally
yeah.
is I would say most often. And I think a lot of people are without sleeves. I like to have a little bit of a sleeve because there's things that go into basically your underarms.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, and believe me, you get a silk burn under your underarm. It hurts for days.
Right.
So these things were to avoid, mostly your clothes, to avoid being entrapped or burned.
There you go.
Right, by the silk. So, but I was like, I never even thought about that. But I just went right ahead and put sleeves on it. They were the mesh sleeves, and they don't bother me. Now, they're skin tight.
Right. So you've had sleeves on all your costumes.
I have.
Okay, so you made tights and a leotard. Tell us about the tights.
The tights are just an M2M legging.
Yeah, so they're just leggings.
That is all they are.
Now, they have a stirrup on them?
They do have a stirrup on them.
Yeah, so they're not footed.
Right. So basically, it's a legging long enough,
uh-huh.
right, to go down to the middle of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cut an oval for my heel.
Yeah, that's actually that's a hack we should just publish.
Yeah,
for
that's
free.
Like no big deal.
So you just cut an oval in the back of the leg
right.
for that. You didn't. So when we kind of say tights here, it's like these leggings were mirroring tights because they were made of a clear, like, or excuse
well,
me,
they were mesh.
Sheer.
They were
mesh.
Sheer mesh, and they had sequins on them.
Yes. So if
and that was the whole idea. I wanted sequins on my legs.
If
you
listen to the Glitter Tolerance podcast,
right?
So this was like a mesh with the foil right. Mm-hmm. sequins,
right? And it's
common.
So it was a skin tone color. So it's common for aerialists to wear skin tone tights,
sure.
So that they look like maybe they're in a leotard,
mm-hmm.
and they appear to have nothing on their legs, but
yeah.
they do.
But yours had mm-hmm. those sequins on it,
right.
So it just added some extra
mm-hmm.
like shimmer to
right.
your body. Now you got this. When you won that leotard look, so
mm-hmm.
ZD's song was Razzle Dazzle.
Uh-huh.
Like from...
It was, Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah, so it's that song from mm-hmm. Chicago, but it wasn't sung.
How can they see...
Who was
it? Well, she sang on Broadway.
Okay.
It was Shirley Bassey.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like from the original Broadway cast recording, it wasn't Richard Gere.
yeah, wasn't no,
but it was.
And
really,
actually, I wanted a female.
Yeah,
to
it was
sing
a really
it.
Cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a really cute.
She is actually. I believe she is Dame Shirley.
Oh,
Bassey.
Is she?
Okay. I believe so.
Okay, so yeah. It was Razzle Dazzle, and you kind of looked circusy.
the, I did.
You know,
yes.
You wanted to look.
I think it was the hat that made it look circusy, I swear.
Well, yeah, I also think this leotard look. And so I wanted to say.
Well, and I had ruffles.
Yes, you had ruffles on your hips. But you wanted this leotard look. The leotard, even though you wanted all that body coverage, the best way to get it this time wasn't to make a unitard.
Right.
It was to make the two separate garments. Because when you want that over the hip look that you get from a leotard, you know, like. That's harder to get in a unitard.
Right.
You wanted a different look when you made the unitards.
Yes.
You wanted that full uninterrupted
full body.
Line.
Uninterrupted body.
There.
Right.
So anyway, if you want to know a little peek into how to make the unitard, we just did the eliminate the front seam from your leggings broadcast over in Zigzag Land. So if you're a zigzagger, make sure to go check out that
broadcast.
So
all my unitards is a leotard mashed up to M2M leggings.
Right.
Yes.
So you made those tights, which, making tights from the made-to-measure leggings pattern is so much fun. I mean, it is so much fun. Putting the foot on them, I give the instructions on how to do that in the February 2019 zine. It is, like, so empowering because you get to make your own tights. Anyway.
Right. Now, that is actually... Your tight interpretation has the seam down the back.
Yes.
And I decided not to do the seam down the back.
You didn't worry
about
it. Yeah.
Well, I actually made the decision because I didn't want to have to worry about keeping the seam straight.
Well, you also don't want to put that oval on a seam,
the oval
right?
would be on the seam. But, you know, I mean, I said I just cut it out, but I also do
Yeah,
it.
You serge it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But... I didn't want to have... Now, I can think of instances where in costuming, I would want the seam in the back. I did not want the seam in the back this time.
Well, I have to say that it just stays straight.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, it really stays in place.
Well, good. That's good to know.
Because I wanted to...
No, that's really good to
know.
I wouldn't worry about cutting the hole through the seam either.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No, I just thought
it would be easier.
But I guess what... You know, this was the first time I used this fabric to make a tight.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to worry. I kept the seam on the inside because I did want a continuous look.
Right.
I really kind of wanted it to look like my leg was nude and somebody put rhinestones on it.
You were, had a rhinestone
That's
leg.
That's what I
yeah.
wanted it to look
okay,
like.
So the leotard. This is where the fun stuff comes in.
Okay.
I think. And I guess we should take a quick break before we talk about the leotard.
Okay.
Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the Sew Long and Sew Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. All right. So you were inspired. You looked on Pinterest for looks You know, you've got a whole Pinterest board of
I have a Pinterest board that probably has 2,000 costumes on it, okay?
Yes.
So, yeah.
And it's all this different color blocking and all these different styles and stuff. And so...
And I don't... I mean, it's not just an aerial costume. So, I pin from dance costumes...
Like ballroom.
Gymnastics, ballroom, skating costumes, and I take a lot from skating. I'm surprised how much I take from skating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Rhythmic gymnastics. Rhythmic
gymnastics
is
very big. I would say I take more from rhythmic gymnastics and skating than anything. Probably, it seems like what I like to incorporate. Some burlesque.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are actually some aerial costumes out there. Not a lot, but you can look it up. There's a few.
Yeah.
And I actually follow a woman in Seattle, and I like her style.
You know, what's her name on Instagram?
She's Harmony Threads. Can't think of her name.
Well,
sorry.
No, that's good. So if you want to check out
Harmony Threads on Instagram, and she definitely has a style.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I really do like it. She's really developed a very nice business.
Yeah. I liked her stuff too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she has a lot of different color blocking.
Mm-hmm.
She's one person who uses the ruffles on the hip.
She uses a lot. I think that must be one of her most requested costumes.
It's cute.
Yeah, she has a lot of posts with that hip ruffle that she's made for dance troops. You know, she's made 20 or 30 of them or whatever.
Right.
And I think it's just very cute.
Yes.
And, you know, it also gives you the illusion of having a waist
It can be real shaping.
Because you're sort of exaggerating the hip.
Yeah, you exaggerate.
So it's really
that.
Cute. It's just a cute look. And it's not an uncommon look.
No, it's really, and it helps to, when you move too, it helps
exaggerate
the movement.
And you're just not seeing a flat butt.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it does. It's nice.
So you texted me and you said, can you come up here? What did you say? You were like, I need some help with the aerial costume. I'm having a mental block whatever. It was somewhat, you know, urgent, okay? And I came up.
Well, I don't know if it was as urgent as I felt it was urgent. But go ahead.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it felt urgent.
Mom? Right, okay, right. You were in a little bit of a pickle, okay? So you'd bought all this sparkly crap. That's why we had to do that podcast about sparkly stuff, because mom's texting me from Joanne's a few weeks earlier, and she's like, I'm going to buy this and this and this, and you bought that sequin stuff that I said I wanted to make tights out of.
Right.
And I was so enamored with it, you know.
Right.
So you had all this stuff up here, and the feedback that I offered you is you had color blocking where this was going to sort of look like a panty. And then there was a light, a dark gold panty.
It's going to look like a corset.
But then you had like the, your flesh tone or a pinky color around the tummy.
Right.
Almost like the midriff was bare. And then something at the top, you know, and you were going to apply lines like the corset. And so my big thing in my life is that I always put dark things around my waist. So I am like, that seems to be a good rule for me. That I put a dark, I make the dark part of my outfit like kind of around that waist belly area. And so I said you should extend the dark gold up into the waist. So then you had, but then this is also another funny thing. You had a pink velvet. Or was it? No, it wasn't the velvet. I'm sorry. It was that pink foiled knit.
Pink foil.
And it was going to go over your bust. But it was
No, the white sequins were going over my bust.
Oh, the pinky white sequins.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking a bit flesh tone too.
Right. She thought that was... Mallory thought this was too flesh tone looking.
Yeah, I was like, with your skin tone being like so pale and pink, like you're a pink person, you know, I thought... This is going to look too flesh-tony. So then ZD got to use my blue tights fabric on her costume.
Well, let's say I knew to buy extra.
That's right. She did. Yeah. It's very smart.
Never buy what someone wants. Buy more.
So the color blocking, and you'll see this in the photos we include with the podcast. The color blocking is dark on the bottom, lighter on the top, on the bust there. And then... you have sheer, it's like a sweetheart neckline. Mm-hmm. And then you have the same sheer from your tights as like the décolletage and the
right.
sleeve.
Right.
And
I have a gauntlet on the sleeve.
And gauntlets on the mm-hmm. sleeve. And you have lots of applique. So it didn't end up looking so much corsety around the waist, but up on the bust, right? You've got stripes.
Yeah, it kind of looks like there's a boning to the bust yeah. line. Yeah.
And that's all applique, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. I applique right over the sequins.
Yeah. And you right. color blocked this by cutting your pattern apart, right. piecing it back together right. with seam allowances
right.
and all that jazz. So that
no, I did razzle dazzle, not all that jazz.
Oh, you're right. so
same show, different song.
Now, even though this was made out of all this real stretchy fabric,
mm-hmm.
okay. Oh, did you put power shaper net?
Okay.
Where? Yeah. Tell us about the layers.
So I do have power shaper net. So I have there's almost two leotards there.
Yeah.
Which is also what I do in the unitards.
Right.
The unitards have a power shaper.
Leotard
underneath them, yes. Except I do not put it around my bust line. My bust does not tolerate power shaper.
Your bust is already power shapered enough.
Well, if I mash my bust, it really is very uncomfortable
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I think
me.
We've talked about that. We talked about that in a previous episode.
And there are some people don't find this uncomfortable at all.
Yeah,
it cuts down on my lung capacity, I think.
Yeah, so you put the power shaper net kind of just under that dark
it goes
gold.
Up, it goes up under my bust. Yes.
Right, just right up
even
to
on a
bust.
Unitard, that's where it goes. Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's good to know. So then didn't really need it elsewhere in the leotard. Your gauntlet.
Well, and my bust is shaped. There's a princess seam.
In your leotard.
Is it in the lower leotard? I think it's just in the bust.
Right, but in your normal leotard pattern.
Well, it depends on what.
Depends on what you do.
I have like six leotard patterns that I have, you know, okay. chopped. But they all have a full bust adjustment of some sort. So they're, like the one that's laying on the table right now.
Right.
It has like an upper piece and a lower piece, and there was a full bust. So there's a built-in.
Shaping there.
There's a built-in dart that you don't see,
right.
basically.
Right.
Because I've used blocking instead. But it does not have a princess seam.
Now, you did all your applique. You sewed up, you know, you did all your applique.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sew your princess seam in your bust area, though, before you applique on the stripes that go up the bust.
Actually.
Or what?
That's not exactly what I did.
Okay, yeah.
So what I did is I appliqued onto the seam and included the seam allowance before I put it together.
I remember that. Because
I didn't know how it was going to turn,
okay,
you know, or go. I wanted to make sure it stayed flat.
Yeah.
So I took what I think it was the side bust piece, and on that curve of my bust, I appliqued the gold fabric on top of the sequins first, then put the seam in and allowed for that seam allowance.
It's almost like with piping. Okay,
yes.
You, like, put it
yes.
on the seam.
Except it went flat
it's not
to one
piping.
Side.
Yeah,
right,
it was like
right.
an applique.
It was like inserting something in the seam.
Yeah,
yes.
So instead of appliquing, because once you sew that princess seam together, the garment becomes very 3D.
Right, right? It has a cup shape.
Yeah, it doesn't
right.
lay down on the table, right? And that's not what we want
well,
it to cup
and,
around
you know,
your breast.
It may have worked out fine because
uh-huh.
that was a stretchy fabric
sure.
or whatever. But I knew that, I also knew that I had drafted this pattern to fit me perfectly,
mm-hmm.
and I did not know if bringing that over that seam
yeah.
and making it fit would in any way mash
And
me.
You didn't have
right.
to. You could
right.
just, that's, no, that's a really
that worked.
Good,
right.
that's a really good point there.
And then the other, you know, there's another stripe that's appliqued on, but it was not in a curvy, curvy place.
Uh-huh. It was
that
just...
was the seam that went over the bust, you know.
Yes, yes. So you had these stripes went in the... In the curvy princess seam.
Right.
There, you had some that were kind of center front.
They were more centered, so that was flatter.
Up. But then you did applique a piece over that border of the...
I did.
Of the
and
sweetheart
that was,
neckline.
And that was actually a afterthought.
Yes.
But that is when I would have applique it.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was an afterthought, I don't think I would have put it on before that. So where the mesh and the top of the... you know, the bus line, the sweetheart line was, I wound up putting another piece of fabric. And actually, I needed to incorporate that color again. So I used three colors with this leotard, basically, not counting the mesh.
Right.
Okay. Three pieces of color fabric. And I needed that fabric in there again. And that is actually what I covered my hat in also. And then there was some on my gauntlets.
Yeah, so you have a dark gold, like, really high-waisted panty that comes up kind of your underbust, almost is what it looks like.
And yeah, then, it's an empire. Empire.
Stop hitting your thing. People are going to email me.
I keep hitting my microphone. You know what? It must be set up differently because I usually don't do that.
Okay.
It's, like, weird.
Don't email me this time, guys. I'm sorry.
I keep hitting my arm on my microphone.
Your windshield.
Windshield.
That's a pop screen. Sorry, it's not the windshield. Right. So anyway, you had the dark gold, and then you had that really blue shiny sequin. Those were the sequins that are sewn on.
Right,
for those
sewn on the mesh.
You've
very
listened
heavy.
Mm-hmm. to that Glitter Tolerance podcast. And then you have the foil stretchy stuff.
Right, which I call the oil slick.
Oil slick. That's
because
a good one. Yeah.
Because it's – this is it right here.
It's from Ariel Costume Number 1.
It is. And it's – blue, purple, who knows, green whatever
teal.
Way you turn it, it looks like oil on your driveway, you know, when you see that, the colors in it.
So you also had to, even though this was made of stretchy fabric, you put a zipper in this because...
I did, because I did want the mesh to go up sort of around my neck.
Uh-huh.
And I could not get my hips through that hole.
Yeah, and you had long sleeves, too.
And I had long sleeves. I could have left a keyhole in the back, and that is not uncommon in a costume like this. You'll see that a lot in Ariel. You'll see it a lot in an ice skating costume or ice dancing costume.
Right.
You will see the keyhole. The zipper was just it's just easy for me to put in.
And now you
I put in an invisible zipper. It is honestly less noticeable than the keyhole.
Right.
So.
No, you didn't. I watched the performance. You didn't even think about it.
Right.
Now, let's talk about those hip, we keep calling them ruffles. They're actually flounces.
They're flounces. Now, oftentimes ruffles are put there,
ruffles
too.
Ruffles are fine, too. Right. But technically.
But we use I use flounces.
Yeah.
Right.
So you use these three colors in the costume. And then you add three layers of flounces.
Right.
So we. The flounces go on the hip where that dark gold is.
Right.
So the lowest flounce was the oils.
The oil slick. Uh-huh.
And then
the gold.
And then the gold. And then the blue.
The blue. Uh-huh. The so, aqua teal, more or less. Not
this
really,
was
yeah.
the, my
It's
view,
actually more green than blue, I think.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever. It's that color
you,
right
do
there.
Do you think? Yeah, I think that's blue.
Yeah, it's a teal.
Okay.
It's a mixture of blue and green.
Yeah, I think of that. I think that's blue.
Well, and it's reflective, so it changes colors.
When you put these three colors on there, this is like a decision we had to make, the order, you know, in which they go. And I said that the gold should go in the middle, so it was viewed as like a separate layer.
Right.
Now, if you didn't want it to look like that, if you wanted to look like you were wearing like a skirt almost or something, you know, you can get different effects depending on the values of layered ruffles and flounces like this, depending on if you're just using
someone had
all
said
the same.
To me, oh no, you want the gold on the top so it looks like there's like a petticoat underneath. And I thought, not particularly. I mean, that wasn't particularly what I had in mind.
Yeah, like that's one effect.
I don't
effect.
Think there's anything wrong with it.
Right, right.
You know, but that was not exactly what I, and a lot of times people will use, you know, are only using two colors.
Uh-huh.
The color, the body of the suit, and maybe there's an accent color.
Yeah, so I just, you get to choose.
Right.
Think about them all. I don't think there's any wrong or right way, you know, to do it, but I do.
Well, and the other thing I chose to do was come, you know, up from the groin and go over the hip and back around like sort of the round part of my butt.
Uh-huh.
And I could have, you know, actually sort of come around and went across the back of my rear end, you know, and kept that a continuous
thing. You could have looked like a baby with a ruffle diaper on.
No. Exactly. So, exactly. Like a diaper cover. But instead, I had two separate sets of flounces on each hip.
Those ruffle butt, like, panties are really popular in a lot of lingerie groups. And all I see when I see them are when that former employee of ours, Linda, was making all those ruffle
things
diaper
for
covers.
Well, and you know, there's another thing that's fairly popular in Ariel, or I think even in yoga right now, and it's that gathered butt.
Yeah.
The gathered butt seam, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm afraid to wear it.
Like, yeah, I don't think, like, I like it on other people, yeah. but I agree. I don't think, like, I would make that, you know, for me. Like, I've seen bathing suits like that, too. And it's just, it's not for, it's, I don't think.
You made
just,
some burlesque costumes like that,
I did,
too.
I did. I'm like, that's, I don't think my butt would look good in that for whatever reason. It's like the shape of my
yeah,
butt or something.
I think I need to make it just to find out.
Yeah,
because,
maybe we should just go try some on. But yeah, it's never been like, oh, I'm going to do that for me. That's never really entered my mind either. That's right. That's funny. But these flounces, they're really interesting. So you had to kind of draft them yourself.
Okay. And what's strange is they're backwards.
Right. Because they're not put on straight.
You're not putting them on straight. You're putting them on a curve. Mm-hmm. So the straight part is sewn onto the curve, and the curved part is what's hanging loose. We're generally on a flounce, right?
I think you said it the other way around.
Maybe. The straight part,
yeah,
okay, mm-hmm. is put on a curve because it's curved over your hip.
I see what you're saying. Yes,
it's like
yes.
the St. Louis
yeah.
Arch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and that is a straight side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it. Okay, what does it look like? It looks like a.
It looks like a smile.
Yes. No, well, no.
Well, no, no.
It doesn't look like a smile because the part that's put onto the costume is straight.
It looks like half an oval that's really stretched out.
Yes.
Okay?
That's better.
Whereas a flounce would look like a smile or a...
No.
Yeah, a flounce, a traditional flounce would get... You know, it can look like a swirl sometimes, and then the curve gets straightened out. But you're saying your straight part gets curved as it gets sewn onto the garment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Which okay. was kind of funny for me because I had it backwards in my head at first.
Yes, because yeah. that's how. So it's like you get that volume.
So the curved edge or the oval uh-huh. the arced edge. Is the edge that's left loose.
That's hanging out.
Right.
Yeah.
Or usually the arced edge. Is the edge that's being attached.
Yeah, with a flounce, like the whole thing is normally curved in some way. You take that
right.
straight thing, you slash it, and you curve it.
Right.
And so there's,
right.
That's why I'm saying a smile. It's, I
yeah.
don't know if that's quite the right.
Right.
I understand. Like a crescent moon.
Yes.
Okay. And you thought it would be like a crescent moon.
Right.
To put on your hip.
Right.
To make this flouncy
right.
flounce. But actually, it was more like a straight line.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Does that make sense? Sorry, guys.
Yeah. it was weird. It's not what I expected.
Do you have those pattern pieces?
I do.
Okay, so I can take a picture of them and I'll post them.
I do.
Good.
And I made three different sizes because I attached them all basically at the same place.
Yeah, that's a good.
So it wasn't like one was attached, uh-huh. you know, and then I dropped down an inch and attached one, dropped down it. No, they were all. So the one underneath was longer.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is interesting because I think that you can do it.
The
other way,
right.
You could have just cut three that were the same length and staggered them, but you were going upside down so
yes.
much. And in fact, you want to talk about the thing you did after the fact?
Right. So, and I even looked. I looked at several different costumers and how they did them, and they did not use a lining underneath.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I was like, okay, I'm just using one layer just like everybody else did. I think I came into a problem. What I did not like is what I finished the costume and then I performed in it. I did a rehearsal in it and I took a video, which is something that's so great now that you used
yeah,
to
really
not
wonderful.
Be able to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I turn upside down or I'm on my side or whatever, the underneath of that oil slick fabric was black.
And it showed.
And the black showed. Or it didn't even show as black. It looked almost like a shadow or something that I didn't like.
I noticed it too. I didn't
right.
think it was a terrible thing.
I don't think it was a terrible thing. I think I could have left it.
Yeah.
But it continued to bother me and I said, forget it. And I cut another flounce and I basically just sort of applicate it onto the underneath.
Yeah, so you'd already finished the costume.
The costume was finished.
It was finished.
You know, another thing I did, like on my gauntlets on my arms, I know people don't always take this into consideration, but, you know, mine had like these lines on it and then these little diamond shapes or whatever. And it was important to me how the lines came together on the underneath seam, because I had my arms up a lot. I had my arm up in front of my face in several things, and I wanted that seam
to all match.
I wanted to look purposeful.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want it to just look like, oh, the happenstance seam, you know, that's where. And so I had them all sort of come together at this point, and I was very happy with that.
You were happy with that.
And I'm not sure that was that important to everyone.
Yeah, I want to come back to the flounces just real quick before we...
Sorry.
So, no, that's okay. You applique those on before you finished your leg opening.
Actually, oh, yes.
Okay.
I partially finished it.
Okay, I want to talk about that.
I applied the elastic. Uh-huh. So I had the elastic on.
Okay.
And then I applied them because they came down into the leg.
Yes.
Okay, so they were like... going over the elastic. Then I turned the elastic and top stitched.
That's so smart. So
and that was a big decision for me to figure out how is that going to look? You know, what was it? It just didn't want it to stop.
So you applied the elastic with the serger, then folded it over and zigzagged it.
Eventually, yes.
Zigzagged it. Oh, my
gosh.
So I
applied the elastic to the leg opening. Then I put on the
flounces.
One thing I did is I sewed the crotch together before I did that, and I would not do that again. I did it for fitting, and I should have just basted it, and I didn't. I mean, I had no, I really didn't.
It just would have been easier.
It would have been simpler.
Yeah,
right.
It would have been easier to applicate.
I just had to sew, like, in the hole, so to speak. So, yes. So I was like, how do I end at this flounce at the leg? You know, how am I going to end it, make it still look finished, make it still look okay or what? So that was my decision, was to put the elastic in the leg, then put the flounce on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I would have had to do the crotch because I put the elastic in the leg.
Well, you could do the elastic without doing the crotch, I guess.
Yeah.
But we don't.
No, I think the way I did it is how I would have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been really bulky there to do that elastic.
Yeah,
like that.
I wouldn't have wanted to.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to do that. So, but I mean, it was not hard to sew.
Yeah. So what this does, the other way Mom could have done this, I just want to bring this up. You could have applied the flounces and then the elastic, but you would have been applying that elastic through all those layers. Okay, everybody. So she's avoiding applying elastic.
Right.
While she has like fabric flags sewn into her leg opening.
Right.
Okay, so that's why she did it that way.
I also didn't have to worry about where those flounces were
while
I was sewing. Am I going to sew them down?
Didn't have to worry about them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it still looked really finished.
Right.
So it was, I mean, it's the best, in my opinion, it's the best way to avoid all that bulk and everything. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I think that we saw a few costumes that actually, you know, I don't know what order the person did them in, but they had fabric bands.
Yeah, instead of having the elastic of the leg, they had the bands. And that might not be a bad idea either.
It's something you could do.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad idea.
So then
at all.
The flounce didn't really look like it extended into the fabric band, of course, because
So that fabric band was over that flounce, so to speak.
I think the way you did it is maybe like the simplest almost way, you know, because the fabric band would have to be applied over all those flounces, and you'd have to worry about where the flounces were, and all that jazz.
But you know,
and
that all fabric that is not that fabric is not thick either.
Uh huh.
It really isn't. Although it does become stiff the more metallic that's on it.
Yeah.
You know, the stiffer it becomes.
That's right. And you can overstretch that fabric. That's another Zigzagger live broadcast. When you get some of these stretchy fabrics and elastic, you think, oh, I'm just in heaven, elastic, yay, it's going to snap back. But if you way overstretch your fabric and you way overstretch your elastic, and then you sew.
And sew with too many
stitches,
short of a stitch. Yeah.
You can get this just wave, you know, that where you've overextended the fabric's
and
elasticity.
That metallic, the coppery gold color, that had a lot of metallic on it. It was a holographic look. And when I put the leg elastic in, I noticed it became stiff. Like, I had to actually use less elastic.
Yeah.
So I had to make the elastic tighter than I would in, like, my practiced, easy, you know, going spandex that I practice in.
Right. Yeah. No, the foil.
Like when my, like all my practice leotards are like the softest.
Yeah, right. The most
stuff
comfortable
I can
stuff.
Find. Right.
Yeah, that foil, it can complicate things.
Yeah, I would not. Well, oh no, I took, you know, I took the sucker off between, there were two shows in one day. I took it off in between. I wasn't going to sit around in it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your hat.
Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about the hat?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you talked about the gauntlets, and I think we're ready
and,
to talk
in
about
fact,
the hat.
A hat was probably part of the inspiration of the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to do sort of a character piece. So, I have a strong dance background.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to use that, and I wanted it to be happy. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sort of sassy and. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had costumed Razzle Dazzle two other times in my life, but they had a lot of
fun. So you were ready for your turn, right?
Yeah, except they all had fringe. Like, I couldn't do fringe. So anyway.
Oh, maybe that's a challenge we should.
So I had this in my head, Razzle Dazzle. I had a couple of things in my head, two or three things in my head. And then I looked over and I saw this top hat that I had actually bought for Elliot for his dance costume. And that he wound up saying, I'm not wearing that. I was like, oh, I had this all worked out. He had a tuxedo and everything in this
hat. Top hat, yeah.
And he loves hats, but he didn't want that top hat.
Oh, he does. He wears a hat all the time.
He wears a hat all the time. I thought the top hat would, like, turn him on.
Wrong.
Yep. Yeah. Wrong.
I thought
I was trying to guess what an 11-year-old wanted.
I thought my
wanted.
Kids still liked spaghetti the other night.
I know.
I was wrong.
Isn't that the truth? Anyway. So, I was like, and it was kid-size hat. And when I put it on my head, it stayed on really well.
Real tight.
So
nice
was part of
secure.
It was, how
secure.
Do you keep this hat on and do aerial stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
But I put it on, it kind of stayed on, and I was like, oh, well, I'm taking this into the studio, and I'm seeing how much upside down or right side up or to the side stuff I can do in it. And I had also planned on knowing that I would have probably take it off at some point.
Right.
Because I knew it wouldn't stay on during every single thing that I probably had planned to do or thought I wanted to do. So that's where it came from. I'm like, that hat, Razzle Dazzle, I got this.
Right.
You know, this is going to look great to get. This all worked. So I had the picture in my head of how the performance would look.
And you had dance moves with the hat. And
I
you
did.
Pick it up at the end.
Uh-huh.
And you
yeah,
it
now
the
picking up at the end actually wasn't my idea at all.
Uh-huh.
So there's a young man in our class that I've been very supportive of, and hopefully he'll do showcase next time. And I've really been encouraging to him and helped him learn what a dance belt was and some things.
Oh, man.
And he says, I know you know a lot about costuming. What do I do about this package? So anyway, he saw my, you know, one of my first run-throughs. And he's like, well, why don't you pick that hat up at the end and throw it to the audience, right? Because I lay the hat down, like, below me.
Yes.
And then go into some. And I was like, well, maybe I will. And unbeknownst to him, the next time he wasn't around and I tried it to see if I could pick the hat up, if I could drop from the silk, pick the hat up, put it back. I was going to put it back on my head because I know what happens when you throw things in the audience. They don't come back the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I did it. So then I didn't tell him the next time he saw my run through.
Uh-huh.
And I put the hat on. And he's like, I go, see, that's your move.
Okay. So this was not a very high quality top hat. It's like a costumey.
Actually, it's about mid range.
Mid range? Okay.
It is a felted hat.
Oh, it is?
Uh huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I'm not sure what the felt is made of, but no, it's fairly high
but
quality.
It's
not like a plastic Halloween hat.
Okay. Okay. Well,
no. It's a nice, it's a pretty nice hat.
It's not like a wool top hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, those cost a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe we have, you know, it's all relative.
This was like a $30
top
hat.
Top hat tolerance.
But
scale.
Not a $2 hat or a $10 hat.
All right.
Okay.
So you had to apply. It's covered in the oil slick fabric.
It is.
It's got the gold on it too. It mm-hmm. doesn't have the blue sequin on it.
No.
Which it's fine.
Right.
You know,
no, that's fine.
Because the oil slick fabric is very.
Well, I have the oil slick. Look at it this way. I have the oil slick fabric in three places.
Right, right.
I have it on my hat. I have it on my chest. And I have it on my gauntlet.
But it's the sparest color, sort of.
Well, I have it on the ruffle, too. But
on your costume. So it was kind of in the hat, you know, quite a bit of it.
And I didn't want the gold. I thought it was too flashy. Okay. And I didn't really want a sequin hat. I thought it was unrealistic to have sort of had a sequin hat.
No, it looks very nice.
So I took the oil slick, and I will tell you, I took that hat back and with the oil slick on it because, you know, I didn't practice with it covered for till the last week maybe. And people went crazy over that hat.
So
they're like, it looks so cool. What, and I didn't want it to look like cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
I did want it to look
what
nice.
What glue did you use? So we used glue.
I used some glue that I had to direct Mallory to in Joanne's. It was a spray contact glue. I thought I would die while I was covering this hat.
It's not your most fun
thing. The combination of the spray glue and this flimsy oil slick fabric was just a poor combination.
Yeah.
The brim I did great.
Yeah.
Okay. It was easy because basically it was flat. I just, you know, I put the hat down on the fabric. I drew a circle, cut it out, you know, put it. The brim is beautiful. It's the best part.
Right.
And then I went the top. I just did the same thing. You know, made the oval, slapped it on, whatever. So then to cover the stack of the hat, right?
Right.
I'm like, how am I going to do this? I wanted to do it like you cover a lampshade. Now, I don't know if people know how you cover a lampshade. But what you do with the lampshade is you lay your fabric out. You lay your lampshade out. And you roll your lampshade along.
Hard to do when you have a brim, and I guess.
Right. And so you make a line on the bottom and the top. You know, and you come out with this big sort of arc.
Yeah.
And it fits your lampshade.
Yeah.
Right? But this was with a brim. So
yeah.
How was I going to do this? And I am so freaking innovative.
Okay? Tell us.
I took this big piece of tissue paper, right? And I wrapped it around the hat. And I just started folding up the pieces or cutting or whatever I could as I, you know, folded around this hat.
Right.
Okay. So that I would get the exact shape I needed.
Right.
And I got it.
Well, and that's kind of, okay, I mean, this might be a little bit of a stretch, but like, you know, that's how you pull a hat when you like make a felt hat. So you have your hat block and you get your felt wet and you're like pulling it around and trying to find the shape. Now, you know, that's your hat. It's not your pattern piece, but it reminds me of that process.
But, you know, so finally I wound up with this piece of tissue paper that wrapped the hat exactly like I thought I wanted it wrapped, and I made sure to make where it was going to have a seam. I didn't make it straight up and down. I just like sliced it on like a, I'd say a 35.
It was like a diagonal.
You know, because I didn't know how that, I was really worried about how that seam was going to look.
I thought maybe you were going to embellish that. I thought, oh, is she going to put a stripe or is she going to do something? I had no idea. So I really was interested.
Didn't want to.
Yeah, right.
You know, I really wanted to be plain. So it worked. And then what I did where these seams came to, so along the edge of the brim, I took the holographic
gold,
and basically like took, I guess it was an inch strip, and glued that on like you would
binding.
Use bias, like a binding.
Right.
Yeah. And I did that on the rim. I did that on where the stack met the top of the hat and then where the stack met the brim at the bottom. It was perfect.
Yeah, and you also had to line.
It wasn't overdone.
The underside of the brim.
Okay, let me tell you how I did this. This is really cool. This is the coolest part. Okay.
Just plop it down.
I did. Yeah. So I made this circle, right? Or I plopped the hat on there. I drew the around the hat, right? Mm-hmm. Then I measured how much the brim came out, which was like an inch and a half or 2 inches or something. And instead, I measured in like 4 inches.
Right.
And I drew another oval 4 inches in, and I cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a donut.
Right.
And I sprayed that sucker, and it stuck on itself, and I had to undo it. It was terrible. I had a fight with it. But I showed it to his boss, laid it down, put it on the brim, and then because it was such a stretchy fabric, I just rolled it in with my hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, therefore, I got like a 1.5, 2-inch color of fabric going up into the hat.
Yeah. So
that was the underbrim. All that was one piece.
And right. But you didn't have to, you know, you didn't line like up way up into the hat, but you did have to kind of underline the brim because of being upside down. And,
well,
and
I didn't want like, I threw my head back at one point with the hat on, and I didn't want anybody to see this black, you know, or whatever.
Right.
No, it was perfect. It worked out really well. And there's the most amazing picture of me with the hat on.
Ralph Horn.
Yes, Ralph
Horn.
Okay,
so if you're a local to Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't
have Ralph take your picture.
Yeah, he's a miracle worker. He caught the shot. She's moving in the shot.
Yeah, so this is an action shot, and my hand is perfect. The hat is perfect. Okay, so I'm in what is called a mermaid pose, which has me like facing sort of downward at about a 45 degree angle, and then my head comes up, which apparently stretched every wrinkle out of me that I had. It was like I got like ironed.
Uh-huh.
And no, when I saw this picture,
right,
I yelled to my husband, "Come here, come here! I look like I'm 30."
Right, right.
And I've got very good form. And the thing that's funny about this, okay, is the last picture that was taken of me in the last showcase, one of the best pictures, is I was in almost the same.
Right.
Well, it was a mermaid. It wasn't just exactly the same mermaid.
Right,
okay?
Right. It was very similar.
It was a very similar picture. So now they're calling that my signature pose is the mermaid.
Well, you'll see all this when you go to the website. Right. So you got to go to sewhere.com, click on podcast, click on Sewing Out Loud.
Oh, and I did my own makeup this time, which is the first time I've ever done that.
Ah, I see. I didn't do her makeup. I did decide.
I'm very proud of myself.
I just want to say, I think I designed ZD's costume.
Well, you know, what's funny is you talk about all the color, and actually the color was really hard to see on stage. The lighting was not
The lighting was kind of funny, but Ralph said he processed your photo to get your colors, you know, more correct a little bit. But yeah, it was interesting. Oh, and I emceed the show.
Oh, that's right.
We haven't said that.
In her sequin tights.
Oh, and we're going to do an episode. We're just going to do an episode on my outfit from that night.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. You'll see all these photos. And actually, if you go to our Instagram, I posted a bunch of these photos, you know, from the performance, from some of Mom's practices, a little bit of the construction up there. It's on our Instagram, but I'll put them all in the show notes too. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.